Hey team, you're about to experience my interview with Mike Massey. Mike is the founder and CEO of Locally. Locally is an amazing platform which is effectively a click and collect marketplace for multiple brands. They operate across the entirety of the US. They have hundreds, and in fact, I think thousands of retailers listing on Locally. And basically, these retailers give a local feed of inventory of products for their retail store locations to Locally, and then Locally surfaces them and makes those products available through a universal search engine, which you can see on your screen right now. Mike and I had a fantastic conversation about how brands can expand their reach and expand their digital footprint into their physical stores by working with Locally to increase their reach. We had a fantastic conversation. I hope you enjoy. This is the E-Commerce Edge podcast with your host, Jason Greenwood. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is my distinct pleasure to welcome Mike Massey from Locally to the podcast. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Jason. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm connected with one of your colleagues, Teddy, on LinkedIn, and then via him got connected with you, and then we finally made our schedules connect to be able to make this conversation happen. So I'm glad we were able to do that.
Me too. That's great.
And Locally, you know, before we get into Locally and what it is and how it does it, I got some ideas on Locally, but I'm waiting for you to make sure that I've got the right feel for what Locally is and does. But how did you get into this space? When you think about the retail focus of Locally, were you a retailer? What's your background? And what prompted you to build this tech platform that helps retailers, especially local retailers, do and be and sell better?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in a family business. I'm the third generation owner of a chain of sporting goods stores based in the New Orleans area. I was the generation that got us started with digital, with very early building a website for our retail business. Was the first seller of products on Amazon as a sporting goods store. And then during that process, I learned a lot about technology. And in paying attention to the news and watching Uber and OpenTable and Ticketmaster and all these various things, what I came to the conclusion was most people would be doing their shopping online rather than walking in a store and browsing for ideas. That's essentially the thrust of the idea, is that people do a lot of research online, didn't have a smooth connection to like nearby stores. So you could literally be looking at a pair of shoes in Manhattan and those shoes be sitting at Paragon a few blocks away and not be able to see that. And I thought that was ridiculous, given you can summon a taxi, you can book a plane ticket, you can go to a concert, you can find out local sushi restaurant and have a table waiting for you, movie tickets. I was like, it's ridiculous that there isn't a cohesive, unified system to let you browse local stores all at once.
And obviously, what happened during COVID, et cetera, really put the pinch on physical retail. But what we now know is that physical retail isn't going away. In fact, it's returned to the mean. Yes, e-commerce is still up and to the right, but we now know that in almost every country in the world, perhaps other than China, physical retail still constitutes for most brands anywhere from 70 to 80% of total sales. So the reality is physical retail is not going away, and it's not going away anytime soon. Sure, there's demographic shifts that are happening. The older boomer generation is slowly starting to fade away from the buying public, and their buying power is decreasing and it's being handed on to millennials, et cetera. But regardless of all those demographic shifts and regardless of those buying patterns and buying behavioral shifts, it's still 70 to 80% of all retail is done in physical stores. So it feels like you were ahead of the curve in terms of your thinking of bringing a technology overlay to the physical retail experience.
That's exactly what I hope to achieve. And at the same time, one of the thesis for the company at the very beginning was that physical local retail is extremely meaningful as a channel, despite e-commerce being up and to the right, as you said. But it was just that physical retail took a long time to get itself online. So physical retail was entrenched for hundreds of years, And there was a model there around malls or freestanding stores, et cetera. But as I've gone through this mission over a decade, what's become really clear is that as physical stores come online, and we have 30,000 stores now online, and when we're talking to these merchants, very large merchants and very small merchants, when we're talking to them, it's really abundantly clear that, like, a Tractor Supply, for instance, yes, they were slow to get an online presence, but then they were fast to get an online presence. They saw that grow rapidly. They saw their online sales grow rapidly, and they're contributing to the 20% or so of sales that are total retail. But 75% of people who visit their website intend to go to a store. They're there to investigate. So the other side of it is that Locally was built to transport online shoppers to successful offline nearby purchases or near me purchases. So here's Locally. We're going to do this. But the other part of our thesis is that successful in-store shopping experiences also generate online purchases. Okay. If you haven't seen a brand before, and I can tell you that Yeti is our client, and this has worked wildly successfully for them. Okay. People like Lululemon, et cetera, they have online in-store experiences, which power online experiences, which power in-store experiences. And there really isn't a differentiation for the consumer. The consumer wants to just be told yes. Like, you can get this, you can get that.
You're saying that, look, we've got this opportunity really to unify online and offline retail in ways that we never could before. And man, I can give you an anecdote from just a recent trip that I took with my wife, a business trip to Arizona and California. And while I was there, I wanted to buy a new laptop because I now live in Mexico. And I wanted to buy a new laptop, which I'm actually recording this video on. And I wanted to get it from Best Buy. Best Buy were the only guys around with this particular laptop. They were the only guys that carried this particular model of laptop. And I went to their website and I had to research on their website, which branch carried it, which ones had it new, which ones had it open box, et cetera, et cetera. And they were updating that sort of once a day. And I was going up the California coast and we were staying in different places up the California coast. So I was checking for the Best Buys in the destinations we were going to be at. Okay, cool. Do they have it in stock? Finally, on the third day, I was actually able to find a local store that actually had it in stock because none of the rest did. And I was able to buy this laptop. But man, it was definitely a kerfuffle. But back in the day when you started Locally, especially 10 years ago, most brands didn't have click and collect. They didn't even show local store inventory. And they didn't offer that click and collect service. And so you, first of all, you'd have to ring around. Maybe they have a store locator on their website and says, okay, here's our 25 stores in the Southern California region or whatever it is. But you'd have to call them one by one and say, do you have this in stock? Can you hold it for me, et cetera? I couldn't click and collect it. And so I feel like you guys were a very early form of click and collect for these brands that didn't offer a full end-to-end click and collect or even a inventory locator, more than a store locator, an inventory locator service. If they didn't offer that on their website, you were that first layer of technology that enabled that for them.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. And our argument is that shoppers no longer are looking for addresses any more than you're looking for an address of a movie theater. They want showtimes. They want their seat booked. Okay. They want their purchase waiting at the counter when they get to the store. They don't want to drive in their car for, like, some want to drive and browse, but most people have a purchase in mind. And so they want to go to a store that has what they're looking for. And so we refer people to products. We do plenty of referring to, like, locations, but we tell people this is what you're going to find when you're in this location. And we think that's a better overall experience for shopping. That looks a lot more like OpenTable or Ticketmaster or Toast, or you go to this place, you're going to get what you're looking for. And we think that. And then the other part of it is that a lot of our clients lean on the experience of going to a store to have things fit or assembled or installed or delivered, or they need it today, or they need a secure delivery. They need a loading dock for a kayak or a bike or something like that, or they need it put together. Those are experiences that people want that are very difficult to solve purely in the digital space.
And how have you guys been able to deal with I guess you fill a gap even today, even for brands that offer click and collect today, you guys offer a solution for getting effectively, as I see it, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here as I'm interpreting the platform, you're a marketplace for physical stores, goods in physical stores. You are a marketplace. You are the Amazon of physical stores. So it's, hey, I can search for a product. So in this particular case, if I had been using locally, I could have been searching for this particular model, make and model of laptop. And I could have found maybe there was other stores other than Best Buy that had this laptop. I couldn't find any easily, even through Googling. I couldn't find anybody that had it apart physically, apart from other brands that were only online and would only ship it to you. But that didn't work for me because I was traveling to a new location every single day. That didn't work for me. I needed to be able to walk in the store and they said, oh, I can get it to you in 3 days. Am I going to take a risk and have it shipped to my address where I'm going to be at a hotel in Las Vegas in 3 days and take the risk that it's not going to arrive on time and that I'm not going to get it into my hands before I leave the country? No, I'm not going to take that risk. So I need a store that I can literally walk in, eyeball the product, pay over the counter and take the goods away with me. And there's many situations like that where somebody needs it because it's time sensitive, or they need to buy a ball gown because they're going to a dinner party that night. Or there's 100 different scenarios where you can imagine somebody needs that good right then and there. And even if that brand offers click and collect, there's multiple variations of click and collect in the world today. And in many cases, those brands have what I like to call fake click and collect, which is we're going to ship it to the local store for you and then let you know when it arrives at the store.
And we do all those things. We do all of it, right? So we can let you reserve a product. We can have it locally delivered by Uber. We can have you come in and have it paid and pick it up next weekend. We have it shipped to the store. We do all of that stuff. But the thing is that if you're, whether you're a brand or a retailer or a brand and a retailer, very few manufacturers have stores that cover the whole continental United States and especially the whole globe. And we're still in the model where products are sold through wholesale channels. Products are bought in retail stores that are buying at wholesale. Those stores add value via support, et cetera. And so what we're trying to do is make it as seamless as possible. We're not trying to displace anybody or take any sales away from, and it's really well proven in our system that we don't take any sales away from like a direct-to-consumer model. What we are doing is just facilitating a good experience that enables the shopper to shop how they choose. If a shopper like you wants to buy a particular product in a nearby store, what good is it to like only give them shipped choices? You're literally walking that customer out the door and saying, it doesn't work for us to sell you this product this way, so we're going to disable how you would buy it. And so like, a lot of things are just simply solo. You mentioned a little while ago, maybe you're going fishing tomorrow and you need a rain jacket. It's suddenly going to start raining. I need this tomorrow. Like a ship package is not going to work. And look, even Amazon is aggressively pursuing a local pickup model. We felt all along that no one's going to out Amazon in Prime or ship package or anything like that. But what local retailers have is the ability to connect their inventory and surface it to shoppers. And so Locally doesn't necessarily rely on people to go to locally.com. We rely on people to go to Google and then maybe visit locally.com via an ad or a natural link. Or we go to Patagonia, or we go to Big Green Egg, or we go to Brooks Running, Trek Bikes. You visit these sites that we power and we show you the path to a successful local purchase. That's it. Like, we're not injecting ourselves into that model.
And if they don't have a click and collect system of their own, you can effectively become their click and collect technology. So long as they can give you an inventory feed, a location specific inventory feed, and so long as they can update that with pretty reasonable frequency, you can make that experience available to their customers.
That's what we do. So 30,000 merchants share their entire inventory with us, and then the 1,000 brands rely on us to help guide the shopper from where do I buy this? That's it. That's what the bottom line is just, where can I buy this? Locally has the answer. We're tracking all this inventory. This is it. Here you go. Go get it.
And how many of these brands offer their own click and collect or store inventory service on their own website, but they still want to make it available through Locally? And I guess the benefit of a Locally is that it's a bit similar like going to Amazon.com. At Amazon.com or eBay or whatever, I can shop across a whole bunch of merchants in one shopping session. And in fact, I can put 5 items from 5 different suppliers into my cart at the same time, one unified purchase, etc. I guess the biggest benefit I can see as a consumer for locally is that instead of having to go to each one of those individual retailers' websites, even if they all offer a click and collect service, and even if they all show their store level inventory on their websites, which most don't, but even for the ones that did, if instead of having to have five tabs open and searching and finding the product and then trying to find the local store that has it, you bring a unified shopping experience across all of those retailers in one spot based on location so that I don't have to go to five different websites to see who actually physically has that product in stock.
And so, Jason, that's exactly what our next phase is. That, like, up until this point, 10 years, we've built what you would be describing right now as multi-channel, right? It's here's all the ways I can buy. And what the next phase of locally is multi-seller, which means that you'll be able to go to one website. Let's say it's like New Balance, or let's say that it's Yakima Roof Racks, and you'll just go to that site and you'll see this is available locally. This has to be shipped. This is available at another store. And you'll be able to buy that just the same way you shop on Amazon, but you'll be on that manufacturer's website. So you'll go to Yakima, you'll go, I need five pieces for my roof rack of my car, three at a local store, they're going to assemble it, but two have to be shipped. One transaction, it's all split in the back end by locally and coordinated, orchestrated. We're making sure that the store gets the sale for the three items that are in stock, the two other items are moved to the manufacturer's ERP system, or maybe it's the manufacturer's own store nearby. We're going to do all the pieces on the back end. We'll be launching our first client in the second quarter so that, again, we're just taking down barriers between online and offline shopping.
So you become the order orchestration platform, effectively.
That's essentially what we are. We're going to facilitate everything from sales tax collection to like sales tax remission to all the various pieces that have to occur across multiple regions, across multiple sellers, so that it's very seamless. You're only typing your credit card in once. And if you need a refund, you can go straight to the store. They've received that payment and it's all very seamless. And so we think that's the next natural progression, but it just requires so many pieces to have been put in place to get here.
I can imagine. Obviously, you're competing against the individual stores running their own kind of click and collect, store inventory, ship from store service. In some respects, you're competing against those individual services, but you're creating a unified service for the brands and for the retailers. I see the value that you bring. Now, how are you guys, because in all my searching when I was there and I was looking for this laptop, I never ran across locally. I even did some Google search, buy Best Sure. Buy or buy local store or something like that with this model of laptop, and locally didn't come up as a result, because I probably would have used locally if I'd have known that you guys existed before this very recording. I would have tried to find this laptop via locally, because I tell you, I spent probably a grand total of 2 hours online finding this laptop at a local store over the period of a couple of days that I was looking. Because even when I went in store and they were looking in their own inventory system, they couldn't tell me where. They said, you're just going to have to check online and you're going to have to look store by store in your region, and you're going to have to put in your destination address. You're going to have to actually make your destination address. You're going to have to put that in as your address. Sure. Yes. In the website, so that it then associates and it pulls up the local stores near you, so that then it can present the inventory from the local stores near you. It's a rigmarole. I had to really want this thing. Basically, unless I really wanted this thing, I wouldn't have executed the transaction. I had to really want it.
I get it. And so, first of all, we don't work with any laptop companies. So we don't work with Best Buy, and we don't work with any laptop manufacturers. We do work in like sporting goods, snow ski, cycling. We work in home goods, tool companies. We have a few like companies in electronics, but they're not necessarily in the Best Buy locations. You wouldn't have found it that way, but we do send inventory to Google. That's one of the ways we do it. And then we do power a lot of websites, almost 1,000 different websites. So you have probably encountered our technology. We service 55 million unique shoppers per month, but less than 10% of those actually go through locally.com. Most of them are being serviced on the manufacturer's website. People are visiting patagonia.com and they're being presented with this item is at a nearby store. Okay. And do you want to hold it, pay for it? What do you want to do? You want to have it delivered? That's where you're going to encounter our technology. Locally.com isn't quite the overarching marketplace environment that like Amazon is. It is there. And people do find it when they do things like search for Patagonia near me or Patagonia in New York or something like that. They'll find locally as one of the top links for that. But most of what we do is like powering widgets or like maps or whatever for the manufacturers.
And why is it that you have you intentionally avoided certain categories of products like electronic, home electronics, small electronics, or is it that those brands have been resistant to take you on board? Is it a bit of a combination of both?
It's probably both, but when we started, we were only three people, and we're just now about to hit 50, and it's just a natural progression to go in the sporting goods space. That's where I lived and worked, and
that's what
I knew it. So I'm like, okay, here we go. We're going to start here. I'm going to go get stores on in sporting goods, and then we're going to go get a brand on in sporting goods, and then that brand now is also in fishing stores, and so we're going to go talk to fishing stores. Now we're going to look at the inventory in fishing stores and go, oh, let's go talk to some fishing companies, and those brands are, oh, we're also in this in tool stores. And so like suddenly we're going back and forth. We just haven't gone back and forth enough iterations to like overlap computer suppliers yet. But that said, like your experience, if you visit apple.com, for instance, you'll see that experience happening where you're going through what locally powers on a lot of these sites. You'll see it on apple.com where I want this computer. Do you want to pick it up? Do you want to have it shipped? Do you want to have it delivered? And then you go through the process where you say, oh, I'm going to pick it up. That's what locally is helping mostly sporting goods and tool and a few toy companies, a few electronics companies do.
So your motto is land and expand. So hopefully one day you'll have Best Buy on board with you.
We're talking to them. We've got some overlap with them, but we're also talking to a few of their suppliers that would squarely put them needing to like work with us.
Love it. And I guess the benefit, so if I'm a retailer, I could potentially see you as a threat if I install you and I don't have the goods in one of my stores, but yet they're able to find other stores that carry it in the widget that I load on my website. But I'm guessing that there is a rev share model that goes on here is that, hey, sure, if I can't supply it, but it's on my website and I can find it through another retailer and I execute the transaction through another retailer, but the widget was on my website and I redirected them effectively to another retailer to execute the transaction. Do they get a partial rev share on that business?
It would be, for instance, Patagonia sells direct, but then you want to buy something from a local store. We surface the inventory of the local store. You're not going to see one retailer's inventory on another retailer's website. You're only going to see it on like a brand's website, like the manufacturer's website. You're not going to see Ace Hardware, for instance, showing Big Green Egg selection from another Big Green Egg seller. But you would go to Big Green Egg's website and see that the local Ace Hardware and a few other stores have that item in stock.
Okay, so in this particular case, it's a Dell laptop. I would go to the Dell website, or you would effectively point me to the Dell website, or if I went to the Dell website myself, and then on the Dell website, they would say, here's all of our retailers that have it in stock.
Office Depot has this in stock. This Best Buy has this in stock.
Perfect. Or I can go directly to locally.
That's right. They don't go directly to locally in that case. They'd go to Dell. They'd go, I want to buy this laptop. And they would see the local options as well as the direct purchase options in the ship boxes. And it would just give them, it would give Dell shoppers the same experience that they get when they visit Apple, right?
Uh-huh.
When you visit Apple, you have a choice of going to an Apple store and they tell you in advance whether they have it and whether it's confirmed and ready for you. But Dell doesn't really have the same number of stores that Apple does. So they would have to refer people to Best Buy or to maybe Office Depot for local pickup.
And in fact, I'm not aware that Dell has any physical stores of their own at all.
Not
do they?
I
think they only sell through the channel. So in this particular case, they're actually driving business for their physical retailers.
And look, physical retailers, let's say Dick's Sporting Goods, for instance, they want their suppliers, golf suppliers, shoe suppliers, they want those suppliers to surface their inventory. Hey, I'm buying these products from you. People are visiting your site trying to find places where they can find them. Like, why would you not connect me to your, why would you not show my inventory to those shoppers?
Yeah, if I go to Callaway Golf and I want to buy a set of clubs, why can't I find all the local retailers by me where I can walk in and I can actually literally buy the set of clubs today if I want to, because I've got a golf tournament tomorrow. So,
that's right. And think if you're a retailer and you've got one supplier, let's say that like TaylorMade is surfacing inventory. And let's say that Callaway says, oh, no, we want to take every one of those and not surface inventory. It's a better experience for the shopper to go to visit one website and see that they can go buy that club today. And it's also a better experience for Dick's. And so we think that it should be universal that the suppliers or the brands or the manufacturers would show the inventory of nearby stores. It's just always been herding cats to get the inventory from nearby stores. Locally is a platform that gets the inventory. That if that's the one thing we do, we get inventory from all these stores.
And if I'm Callaway or whatever, and maybe I have a D2C experience on my website, and I say they're cannibal, we're giving away margin unnecessarily when we could sell it direct. Yes, that's true. But Callaway, even if it had physical stores, which again, I don't think they do, but even if they had physical stores, they're not going to be in every nook and cranny of where their customers are. They, even if they had 50 stores across the United States or around the world, they're not going to be in every single That's physical right. location where a customer wants to buy golf clubs. They're not going to replace every pro shop at every golf club around the country. They're not going to replace every Dick's Sporting Goods. They're not going to replace every place where these items are sold and where customers want to purchase or need, in some instances, because of a time crunch, they need to purchase locally. And therefore, That's exactly right. would you rather lose the sale to a competing brand who does use something like locally or who does refer people to local physical stores that they sell to wholesale? Would you rather lose your sale altogether, or would you rather hemorrhage a tiny bit of margin to your retail partners that can get it into your customers' hands today within the next hour?
That's exactly right. That's exactly the way we see it. And let's go all the way back to what I talked about at the very beginning, which is there's a benevolent like life cycle between the brand and the retailer. The brand is counting on people visiting their site and doing those longer margin purchases. But people are visiting their site because they've been visiting local stores where they see those products. If you lose your local market share because your competitor is doing a better job of referring people to your inventory, if you lose that market share and your brand becomes more invisible in physical stores, we see your direct business going down as a result of that. Whereas if local stores are very content with you as a supplier and you do a great job of walking people into the store and generating foot traffic, and so that store decides to carry more of the products, guess what? Your direct business rises. And it rises very inexpensively because people are familiar with your brand. They have affinity to your brand. They're experiencing your brand. And they're coming directly to your site rather than you having to compete for clicks to get people into your site, which is the margin killer, right? So if you have to, let's say you're a fishing pole company, and there's two of them. There's two different fishing pole companies, and one of them has to constantly battle against a fishing pole company who has great affinity because they dominate local market share. Those guys pay nothing to have people come to their website, okay? Their fishing poles are in every local store. All the fishing retailers talk about them all the time, and they say that they're the best fishing poles you can possibly buy. And so when customers are deciding to buy a fishing pole, 20% of the time, they're going to probably buy it directly from your site. And the 80% of the time, they're going to walk in a store and buy it. Do you want to give that up so that you can focus on less long margin sales? Or do you want to do both? And our argument is you really do want to do both. You're going to do way more business by having both a very strong local presence in physical retail, where 80% of sales are being done, versus having very long margins in a smaller channel that's almost completely dominated by a few large marketplaces. I just don't see where, like, thinking that you're going to really dominate online versus the 60 to 70% that's dominated by marketplaces is a viable option for most brands.
Effectively, what you're preaching is channel agnosticism. That's what you're preaching, right?
I'm preaching consumer centrism.
Yeah, you're saying, look, hey, if your consumer wants to go and buy it on Amazon, you should be on Amazon. If your customer wants to go and buy it on eBay, you should be on eBay. If your customer wants to go buy it on Walmart.com, they should be able to go and buy it on Walmart.com. If they want to go and buy it in a physical store, great. If you've got inventory and they can wait for it to be shipped and they can buy directly through you and they can save 15% because they're buying it directly through the manufacturer, then they should be able to do that too. And you're basically saying, look, you've got inventory strewn. If you work with retailers, then you have inventory spread everywhere, all four corners of the globe, so to speak. And why wouldn't you want your customers to be able to access that inventory through you as a brand? Why wouldn't you want to point them to the most convenient place for them to make their purchase? Hey team, I have a big favor to ask you. Please pause this episode and send the link of this episode to someone you know that you think would enjoy this content. Really appreciate you spreading the word. This is how we grow. We're not a Joe Rogan. We don't have big, massive advertising budgets, but we absolutely want to grow. We want to get the learnings from all of these episodes out to as wide of an audience as possible, and we need your help to do it. Thank you, and now back to your listening.
Why would you not be the definitive source of truth about where to buy your products? Why would you not want to constantly improve the path for the consumer to find, buy, and experience your products, get service, have installation, have it delivered? Why would you want to prevent your customer from being able to do that? And unfortunately, when we first started the company, what I would say is that as brands emerge in direct consumer business, which is completely rightfully because they are the definitive experts on their product, they can have the most information, the largest selection, and it makes total sense. But as they emerge in that business, I think that like the up and to the right model for wholesale just lacked luster. And so now what we see is almost a 180 at this point, where brands are recognizing affinity and goodwill is actually what drives both channels, and both channels contribute heavily to that. So large selection, definitive information that a brand can provide, coupled to a hands-on full service experience that a retailer can provide, is probably the main experience. And so one of our partners is Google. And what they see on their side, most of our brand clients have a 1 or 2% conversion rate. So that means 100 people visit their site, one or two will buy, right? On the other hand, when we talk to Google, who has more information about consumer behavior than anybody in the world, what they're seeing is that when a consumer can find that a product is nearby that they're looking for, your laptop, for instance, there's a 50 to 70% chance they'll be in that store within the next 24 hours, 50 to 70, okay? That doesn't mean that the one or two aren't gonna buy. It means that there's 50 to 70 that are gonna walk into a store. I run retail stores. I can tell you when people walk in our stores, our conversion rate is about 90%. Why would you not want to provide a path to that purchase when you also know that successful purchase is what's gonna drive your direct consumer sales the next time that shopper goes shopping?
And it creates a tremendous amount of brand trust.
And loyalty.
If I knew that when I was in the United States, when I was in the United States, I wanted to buy a new cell phone or whatever. If I knew that every single brand manufacturer, if I could always go to their website and I could always find out where I could get these items in their entire catalog, wherever I could find these, wherever they may be in the retail world, you'd go to that brand website every single time, because instead of Googling and instead of searching and hoping that Google can surface to you where I can buy this product locally, which obviously you've got an integration with Google, so that's great. But it is quite an effort. If I know exactly what I want to buy and all I'm looking for is a place to buy it, like I went to the Dell website, useless, hopeless, absolutely terrible. Like I could not find a local, I would never even bother going to the Dell website if I was trying to find a place to buy their laptops locally, because it's such a crap experience. All I can do is find out information about their products, maybe download a PDF, maybe download some drivers. And then you're on your own. Go and search Google or go and search the Best Buy website or whatever it might be. It's a terrible brand experience.
Compare that to the Apple experience. You visit the Apple website, it gives you all the information and all the choices about all the channels, and it lets you literally buy their products seamlessly, one checkout. You can do a pickup and a delivery. You can do a shipment and a local pickup, BOPUS. You can do all of these things simultaneously. That's a great experience. And so we look at that. We look at Lululemon. We look at various people who have hybridized the shopping experience between online and offline shopping, having achieved great success.
But Nike doesn't do it. Adidas doesn't do it. That there are a huge amount of sporting goods and sportswear retailers that still offer a crappy.
It's coming.
I mean, as awesome as Nike is, you can't go there and see which one of their 10,000 stores across the United States carry their products. You can't see it.
I think you're going to be surprised that most of these consumer-facing companies within the next 10 years will all have moved over to more of a marketplace, multi-seller, multi-channel model. I think that everybody's thinking about it now. The direct consumer shine has worn off. Direct consumer is very expensive to operate. Everybody thinks, oh, it's going to be high margin. It's high margin, but it's also very expensive.
Yes.
You're giving 20% of your sale up on click fees, affiliate fees, returns, shipment. You know, shipping costs have gone through the roof.
Physical store is expensive to operate for them.
I can't even tell you. I've sat in so many sales meetings at the brand level where I've gone to, you know, talk to reps or whatever, and I've sat there and it just basically the bottom line is that wholesale business for most brands generates most of their net margin. Okay.
Sure
the
wholesale does.
Business is a very good business. You have sales reps that walk around and sell into stores, and stores buy hundreds of thousands of dollars in one shipment. And that's just a much better model than trying to sell one off, do offer customer service. It's a very difficult model.
It is. And shipping door to door and returns and reverse logistics and all that stuff. It's a, exactly. It's an absolute nightmare, right?
For these
brands that have historically been wholesale brands, and now all of a sudden they're trying to do retail, and it's, geez, this is a whole different kettle
very
of fish for us. And it's so it's difficult. You can look at Allbirds as an example. They have had to capitulate. They've had to capitulate and start selling wholesale because
90% valuation drop.
Correct. They're burning cash like you can't believe. And if they don't do something pretty quick around strategic wholesale, they're going to be out of business before they can blink.
And the brand is increasingly irrelevant because you're not finding it in local stores.
Correct. You need to be able to see it.
You have to see it. When we first started with Yeti, they were not even remotely close to as big as they are. And they're one of our best clients. We love those guys. And they were starting to get into direct consumer business. And we went through this whole process with them where essentially we broke their whole channel down to we're going to get rid of a lot of stores. But we're going to make it really meaningful to be a Yeti dealer. You're going to have to assort a certain number of products. You have to offer a certain level of support. And when they hybridized that experience where they did direct-to-consumer plus direct-to-consumer retail, mm-hmm. they did both. And they just said, buy our coolers, buy our products how you want. Their business just exploded. And we truly believe that your wholesale business is the canary in the coal mine for your direct-to-consumer business. When your wholesale business starts suffering because maybe a competitor is doing a better job of supporting wholesale, or maybe somebody's doing a better job marketing or winning market share from local stores or has a better argument to make, when you start losing that, it's very difficult to like keep that consumer engaged and get them to come direct to your site and buy your products despite not seeing them in local stores.
And it causes the other potential wholesale partners to pull back too, because there's massive amounts of FOMO in retail, right?
It's an ecosystem. It's all connected. It's all connected around the consumer, right? It's just about the consumer. It isn't about how you want to sell things. You aren't omni-channel brand or retailer because you sell in multiple channels. The consumer is the omni-channel part of it. The consumer is the person who is consuming your products in multiple channels. You have to always enable the consumer to make the choice they want to make, regardless of what your own business tactics are.
Yeah, channel agnosticism, such a hard thing. And so when we think about the wholesale channel, there's the same challenge in the wholesale channel, right? It might be a mechanic shop or whatever, and I need to buy these products B2B, and I need to buy them from a manufacturer, but do you see a place for yourselves on dealer websites for the B2B sector as well? Because obviously you're very focused on retail. You're very focused on retail brands. You're very focused on retail products. But this same problem exists, because I work very heavily in the B2B space. This same exact problem exists in the B2B world too.
We do lots of stuff in the B2B part of it. So like we consider ourselves to be a B2B2C company. And so like lots of things that we do help inform the supply chain or marketing or consumer behavior or personalization. We're in the background taking all this data we collect every month and feeding it back to like our brand partners and our retailer partners, not to each other, but in a way that supports privacy of each party. But we feed it back so that everybody can optimize for the consumer. Our vision is that we are on the back end of a variety of experiences, but that retailers know that Jason is shopping for this product online, and that when you walk in the store, it's right there, sitting there, and the retailer knows what's popular across all his suppliers' websites. He knows what he should have in stock. He can see inventory, and he's filling it in. He's filling in his sizes on popular shoes. And by sharing all that information back and forth between the brand and the retailer, we feel as though the consumer is better served. And believe me, this is the kind of thing that Amazon's thinking about, but they're thinking about it fully vertically integrated, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking up and they're looking at what consumers are shopping for, and they're going to go drop stores, their own stores, and they're going to cut the suppliers out of the experience. We've seen it again and again in the bike industry where Amazon would come in and go, oh, we want to sell your product. And then they would increasingly chop the legs out of the margin, get the retailers to all stop carrying that particular product. And then when the brand stops capitulating to their demands, they finally just knock off the product and build it themselves and say, we're not going to use you anymore. We're going to go to your supplier and do almost exactly the same thing. And that's just a challenge for, we're trying to build something that's more open source retail. Let's call it that. I don't think that's a great term for it, but let's say that we're trying to build something that's very collaborative between
retail. Transparent retail is what I'd call it.
Transparent, where data is shared seamlessly to help optimize the consumer journey.
And how difficult is it when you go in and you start having conversations with these brands? Is it an educational process? Do they feel threatened? Do they feel like we don't want to pay a middleman? We see locally as a bit of a middleman that they're going to clip the ticket on everything that flows through their platform. Why wouldn't we just do this ourselves? Why wouldn't we just grab inventory feeds from our retail / wholesale partners? Why wouldn't we do this ourselves? Do you get any pushback? Is it hard to get them to even give you the inventory feeds? Obviously, you're getting the inventory feeds from the retailers too, and you need those inventory feeds from the retail partners. Do you get any pushback from them and they say, look, why wouldn't we just do this ourselves? Why would we do this through locally?
Some do it themselves, and some use us for just their wholesale suppliers, and others use us more holistically across everything. We have quite a few. We've got brands with hundreds of stores that like their entire model runs on top of us, where you wouldn't even know it. It's all branded under their logo and
like, you know, white labeled, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's actually cheaper for them to like have a fully integrated solution that is continually evolving versus having to hire a whole dev team to build it themselves. And on the retailer side, we've got a large chain of outdoor stores that like has 230 brands in common with us. It would be impossible for somebody like that to set up inventory feeds to 230 different companies. Some of those companies are relatively small. And so we're just this piece that like unifies it all. And I would argue that our fees are embarrassingly low. We're pursuing more of a all comers model rather than extracting large
like rents effectively, rent seeking.
Yeah, well, let's just say we're not an SAP or a Salesforce that can push fees into the many millions.
And this, you make a very good point, which is that one feed, one middleware,
that's right,
becomes the central orchestration points for all of it. And so it's much, much easier for a retail brand to say, look, let's integrate once with locally. And that now we can reverse that and we can go back to all of our suppliers and we can say, we work with locally. They are our retail inventory management partner and retail surfacing partner and order orchestration partner, especially for the online sales that would be channeled through physical retail. They are our central partner. Cool. Now, if you want to display our inventory on your branded website, then right, just integrate once with locally and Bob's your uncle, you're off to the races.
And it just all works. And it just works seamlessly and transactions flow seamlessly and retailers are using one system that unifies it all. It's in a lot of ways, we're doing this version of a marketplace the way that Shopify, for instance, is unifying. You know, when you go to a Shopify website, you know that checkout. It's always standardized.
They've already got your payment details.
Yeah,
they've already got it stored.
It's easy for you and it's easy for the consumer. I mean, we have, you know, some stores that are doing tens of thousands of dollars per month and in small stores that each location is doing tens of thousands of dollars per month, if not six figures per month in referred sales. And it just all works. It just, they turn it on. They don't have to like worry about security team. They don't have to worry about upgrading backend SQL servers or are we using BigQuery, or they don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It just all is very seamless.
And oftentimes they're already using an omni-channel feed engine anyway. So they're using something like Channel Advisor or they're using
first party, right?
You know, they're using any one of a number of channel management platforms where they're getting a feed out to Google Shopping or they're getting a feed out to shopping comparison websites or they're getting a feed out to all the marketplaces that they integrate with. They've already got a feed engine almost every, in fact, I would be hard pressed to say that there would be very few retailers out there that would not have a feed engine of some variety in their business. And so they make you just another destination endpoint for their feed engine.
And that's exactly the way that it works. And you would be surprised at how many don't have anything. You'd be shocked. Okay. We work with a lot of retailers. And of course, like the large format retailers, they all have a system, whether it's Channel Advisor or Feedonomics or something that like kicks feeds out. Even like a baseline Shopify site's going to have that. But like we've got retailers who maybe they're a kayak store and they're not even using UPCs. We're taking retailers from the very baseline to, hey, this is the easiest possible thing you can do to put your full inventory online. It doesn't cost you a penny to get on our channel, right? Not a penny. Okay. So like you're a retailer, you sell your favorite brand of kayaks, and you want to put them online and you want people to be able to browse your inventory, but you don't necessarily want to run your own website. We literally take all the products right out of your point of sale system and put them in front of shoppers. I don't think that there's a way for you to do that for any less expensive.
And even if they do have e-commerce, you can help drive their click and collect engine
That's
as well.
Right.
And you can provide them that interface
all of those.
Via a widget. Guessing it's just a JavaScript widget that they can drop into their theme and they're off to the races.
That's right. And the more sophisticated guys can use more of like a headless API version of our tools.
Pull it in real time on the PDP page.
That's it. That's totally it.
Wow. What an exciting concept. What an exciting model. I love the model. I love the idea that whether you're a single physical retail store or 100, this scales with your business, regardless of how big or small you are, regardless of how tech savvy you are. At the end of the day, you have to have your product data and inventory somewhere, whether that's in an ERP, an inventory management system, a WMS, a point of sale. You've got your inventory somewhere. You have to. So the reality is, as long as we can get the SKUs and some basic product information, which I guess also in your system, you have basically whoever has the best product information about a product becomes the product master in your system, because at the end of the day, it's based on a SKU match, right? So we know, okay, this SKU is this product.
Yeah. So our system works by just collecting, all we're collecting from retailers is UPC and quantity. That's it. That's all they need to send us. We've already got all the products on our side. So we're not asking them to become an e-commerce merchant. We're literally going, all you need is to put a UPC on a row in your point of sale system and connect your point of sale system to, we've got 70 or 80 different point of sale adapters. So like, just connect that, set it, and you're done. It's over. We'll alert you if something goes down. The connection goes down up for 48 hours. We'll send you an email and say, hey, we think your connection's down. But like, you might deal with us, other than getting sales, you're only gonna deal with us like maybe one time ever.
Wow. And then the rest of the product information comes directly from the manufacturing brand, right?
Yeah. So the source of truth on all the products, whether it's on locally.com or the brand's website, all that information in the cart, et cetera, all comes supplied directly from the manufacturer.
Wow. So that way you can be sure that the product information is accurate. Because if you relied on the retailers, some are better than others, and it's terrible.
We don't. Because retailers have all sorts of various things. They might have a free shipping tag inside of their, or they might have this that doesn't really reflect all retailers. So we really can't rely on retailers to provide all that.
And so your first point of call is you're effectively a marketplace of information, which makes sense. So is your first point of call to the manufacturers, or is your first point of call to the retailers, or is it a two-pronged approach? It has to be.
It's a Venn diagram that works both ways, right? We have retailers, so we get brands. We have brands, so we get retailers. And essentially, most of the brands that come on the platform are coming on because we have a lot of their retailers. And a lot of the retailers that are coming on the platform are coming on because we have a lot of their brands. And so it goes both ways. I like to tell a story that when we first started the company, we really didn't have any of that. So in the first year, we only got four retailers to come on the platform. Four. We had five retailers who were investors in the platform, but only four came on. In the second year, we started building all the tools. We still only had four come on. It's four more. So we're at eight by the end of the second year of retailers coming on the platform. But we'll have 100 retailers come on the platform today. It takes building both sides. It's very painful.
And as the middleman, how do you guys make your money? Does the brand pay you? Does the retailer pay you? Who pays for the service?
We charge brands under a SaaS model. We charge retailers under a successful transaction model.
Okay. So clipping the ticket for every successful retail transaction. It's a rev share. That's fair. You've got skin in the game. They've got skin in the game. It's brilliant. And then for the brands, it's, hey, you've got to host the product information. You've got to get that data from them. You've got to update it on deltas, et cetera, et cetera. And so effectively it's hardcore infrastructure that you're maintaining and you're hosting on behalf of those brands. So
That's therefore exactly it makes sense
that they would pay effectively an infrastructure fee as a SaaS fee.
That's basically it. That's exactly right.
Wow. And what is next for you guys? I know you go land and expand, adjacent vertical model. I get that. Yes. It feels like there's some pretty juicy verticals out there that are just an absolute disaster. Electronics is one of them. Appliances, small home appliances,
Yes. Absolute
disaster. Just trying to find home appliances is freaking impossible. If you can't get it on Amazon, you're screwed. And so there's some verticals out there that are just begging for unification.
So we're working in kind of the beauty industry right now. We just launched one of the a parent company that has a variety of brands under an umbrella that will enable us to show people where to buy their products. We think that like beauty, makeup, et cetera, that's a thing that people want to see. We're working in the fashion space. We've got a couple of major fashion brands that we're talking to right now about moving to that space. That would be more a department store, I would say.
Yeah.
We think there's an opportunity for things like watches, electronics, like particularly premium watches that maybe somebody wants to go out and try on or see before they would buy. Those are not things that typically larger purchases like that, people don't generally buy that online. And then we're working with a variety of like toy brands, for instance, that under the multi-seller model, where you might be able to visit a major toy manufacturer and just go through a checkout experience that loops in your local toy store. And we're working with a variety of very large sporting good brands that like are also looking at like kind of the multi-seller model.
Wow. Lego, as an example, would be a perfect, because of course they do, they have a D2C model, but they also, Lego is massive in physical retail. So what a perfect, it feels like toys are ripe for the picking there too.
It is, particularly since Toys R Us has disappeared from a unified local retail. People want to buy Lego, they might want to go browse some different stuff, and having an experience where sometimes you go in a store and sometimes you go buy it online, especially if you're going to a birthday party tomorrow that you just found out about, your kid just gave you the invitation, says, we've got to be at this tomorrow, I want to buy Lego. You can't buy it online. If you don't know where to go, you're not buying Lego, you're buying maybe something else. So yes. Lego's missed an opportunity for that.
No question about it. And what's on your radar from a technical perspective over the next 6, 12, 18 months, apart from working with more brands, more manufacturers, more retailers, what's on your radar that maybe something your platform doesn't do today, but you'd like it to do, or your brands are telling you we'd like it to do?
Yeah. So a year and a half ago, I did an interview with GS1, who is basically the parent of all barcodes. So yep. They're the UPC, like source of truth. And they asked that same question. And I'm going to give them the same. I gave them the same answer then as I give you now. And back then, they thought I was crazy because it just seemed so far-fetched. And I told them that it was AI that we're really focused on. And we thought that it was going to be a real game changer. And I still think that. And we haven't really tackled it successfully. We're using it now and like on our team to be more successful and more productive. But what I ultimately think is that the shopping experience will be highly influenced by things like AI, like maybe on-site search or like product recommendations or personalization. All of those things are going to become vastly more important. And if your advertising was uniquely to you, if Instagram ads were running based on like your persona or your personal traits or your preferences, but that's just far too granular to do without something like an AI to be able to achieve that. So we work with a variety of advertising firms. We ultimately want you to see the advertising for local stores in much the same way as you see advertising for online stores. You visit Instagram ad to buy something and have it shipped. We want to show you an Instagram ad that's personalized to you around what you can go buy at your nearby store. We want to show you ads for your favorite stores. We want to do these types of things. Right now, Locally is very passive. If you couldn't tell, Locally is behind the scenes on a lot of stuff. We're not going to become an advertising firm. We want to work with advertising firms, marketing firms, and we want to empower them to be just as great at advertising as this, I don't know what the exact period, the dinosaur period where we had this prolific change in life. We want local retail to embrace digital and be successful in that space and actually be competing against Amazon more successfully, or competing against whatever the category killer is in their vertical.
Wow, what an exciting time to be in the retail space with Locally. And what a great time to shine a spotlight on how important physical retail is to the retail ecosystem, full stop. And I think we who work in the digital space, and I'll raise my hand and own this too, we like to think that we're the be all and end all. We like to think we're this amazing, we're great at technology, and we're great at being where consumers are, and we're great at driving online experiences and personalization, and all those things. And I think we are, but I think those of us that have worked in the industry, especially for those of us that have been multiple decades in the digital space, I think sometimes we lose sight of the power of physical retail. And we sometimes overlook the importance of physical retail as part of a full omni-channel strategy. And even as someone who works heavily and is heavily focused on the B2B space, that will call, which, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's B2B's version of click and collect. Will call is click and collect in the B2B world. that is still a massive thing. If I'm on a job site and I need a bit of plumbing, or I need some timber, or I need whatever it is, if I'm on a job site and I need that stuff today, I'm going to try to find through my suppliers, I'm going to try to find where I can do a will call collection today, right now, in the next hour, to be able to complete this job on behalf of my customer. And so I think this quote unquote physical retail is nearly as important, not quite, but it's probably nearly as important in B2B as it is in B2C, D2C. And a lot of us working specifically in the B2B space, we even overlook the power of quote unquote physical retail through will call and warehouse collections, et cetera, being able to browse warehouses, et cetera. So it's physical retail is not going away anytime soon, is it?
No, it is absolutely not going away. And if you look at the landscape of everything you just described, you look at all the things that you do online for like physical local pickup, whether it's Toast, Ticketmaster, Expedia, all of those things are not digital purchases. Okay. Those are all things you're going to go and take possession of in a physical location. Retail is the final frontier in this. It's just because it's been herding cats, but it's all coming. Okay, getting everybody on the same page and building a standard that allows everyone to communicate. Those are things that are going to happen for retail, the same as this happened for taxis, the same as this happened for like booking a flight or a hotel or a restaurant. We have these enormous brands, TripAdvisor, Yelp, okay? All these things, these are all focused around an online to offline experience. It's coming for retail. We feel like we're at the very front of this. We're pushing really hard. We're going to be at Shop Talk next week
in Vegas.
Anybody who hears this can visit us at our booth, 741.
Nice. I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it anyway. Phidgetal. And it's
one of our board
happening.
Members invented that word.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And super interesting. Listen, Mike, this has been a fabulous conversation and I've really enjoyed it and I've learned a ton and it sounds like you're doing some super, super cool stuff over it locally.
Thanks,
Jason. How do you like people to get a hold of you? I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile and locally in the show notes. But other than that, how do you like people to get a hold of you if they want to talk to you?
You're more than welcome to put my email address in there. That's a great way to get in touch with me. I'm not on LinkedIn every minute of every day. I miss you if you reach me there. But other than that, locally.com. There's lots of ways to get in touch with us, and my email address is the best way to get in touch with me.
Is it just mike@locally.com?
Mike.massey.
Mike.massey@locally.com. Absolutely love it. Now, as we come to the end of our time together, this is where I get to flip the script. I get to hand the microphone over to my guest, let them ask me one question, any question they like. It can be personal or professional. Mr. Mike Massey from locally.com, what is your question for me today?
I don't even know. This is going to be a tough one.
I love putting my guests on the spot and letting them grill me.
I'm sorry. Okay, so here we go. Man, you run a successful podcast. Like, how did you possibly get into that? That seems like such a far reach for anyone to do. Like, how did you get to this spot? Give me the breakdown. I'm very interested.
I tell you what, it all started even before I started the podcast. It started about 8-9 years ago when I started doing a ton of content. And I have to give credit where credit is due. I've said this before. I was listening to Gary Vaynerchuk, and every single time I listened to him, I felt like I was getting a beating in the ear about, hey, you think you're a thought leader. You're not a thought leader unless you put your thoughts out into the market and open them up to critique. You're not a thought leader unless you're sharing, unless you're communicating, unless you're having a conversation. You're just not. You can say you're a thought leader all day long, but unless you're putting your thoughts out there into the world, how can you be a thought leader? And why would you try to hide your light from the world? Why, with your unique set of experiences and hard-fought learnings, why wouldn't you want to put that out into the world? Why wouldn't you want to improve the hive mind of humanity with all the things that you've learned? It's like a parent passing on something to a child. Why would you want your child to have to learn all the hard lessons that you learned? Why can't they go out and learn new ones instead? And so I really took that on board, and I guess I just got sick of hearing Gary V say, basically, put up or shut up. And so I finally was like, okay, I give in. I'm going to start putting out content. And I started out with LinkedIn. And then I also, when I looked out across the podcast landscape, there were some excellent e-commerce podcasts out there, but almost all of them and almost exclusively were focused on digital marketing and merchant stories. And I come at e-commerce, and I've been doing this for over 20 years now. I come at this more from a technical and an operational perspective, and that's my focus as a senior solution architect and a consultant. That's really where I come at this stuff from. And I didn't really see any content out there for people like me. And I didn't see anybody out there able to have these kind of conversations with the experience stack I had. And I thought, there's nobody doing it. Somebody has to step up and take a role in this or take a lead in this. And I believe that a rising tide floats all boats. And I believe that if we all get better together, it actually increases the pie for e-commerce and for digital. And so I thought, cool, I'll put up and try to do this thing myself. And now we're at 346 episodes or whatever it is now. And it's I love it. And it's my love letter back to an industry that's made me what I am today. It's given me a lifestyle I could have only ever dreamed of, to be honest. We're digital nomads. We live in Mexico now. I grew up in Southern California, moved to New Zealand, lived there for almost 30 years, built my career largely in New Zealand and Australia. And then a year and a bit ago, we moved to Mexico. And this industry has allowed me to do that. And I have made so many good friends and met so many good people in this industry. I thought, geez, this is my small way of giving back to an industry that has treated me so well. And the final thing is that for me, this allows me to have conversations with ultra smart people like you that I could not have these conversations any other way. If you just reach out to somebody on LinkedIn and said, hey, can I grab 15 minutes for a virtual coffee with you to shoot the breeze about e-commerce? 9 times out of 10, these people are too busy, or they think you're going to sell them, or whatever it might be. And it's hard to get conversations unless you go to these conferences like Shop Talk. And a podcast, especially once you have 300 plus episodes, it starts to become something that people want to be a part of and they want to contribute to, and they can see a benefit to them too, and exposing their technology to a wider audience. So it really becomes a win. So it's had so many benefits that I could have never envisaged 3-4 years ago when I really started doing this seriously.
I think that's great. That is such a good answer.
Thank you so much, Mike. I have super enjoyed this, and I can't wait. Maybe in 6, 12, 18 months, we can get you on again and we can find out where you've gotten to with locally.com. I really appreciate your time. I can't wait to speak to you again soon.
That's great. Thank you.
Are you a B2B or D2C e-commerce merchant? Then head over to greenwoodconsulting.net to learn how we can help you scale your business.